Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, hope you're in a good mood. TJ's been smiling since he got here. Full slate of NBA going through his brain last night, tonight.
Mm-hmm. And there was cake when I got here, too. That was nice.
I don't know what Charlie, our news dude, has just been hooking us up all week. And this isn't a good thing because I don't remember the last time I went and swam. That's my workout.
Mm-hmm.
There was apple pie yesterday. And
there's coconut pie still left. Yesterday.
I know. I had a second piece of coconut pie because if it keeps sitting out there.
Somebody's got to eat it,
yeah,
right?
Someone's got to take one for the team. They had banana cream yesterday.
Ooh,
I know you ditched
good.
Us for someone prettier last night.
Mm-hmm.
But we had, Vogues and I had to go crush wings. So I've just been on a health kick. I had Uncle Andy's bourbon sauteed ham sundae. It was just incredible.
That does sound incredible.
Oh, I mean, I took a picture of it and sent it out because I know you wouldn't believe me. Bone in, it was so good.
Ooh.
I mean, it was worth going over.
Now, I was going to ask you.
I love the in-laws. They're good people.
I was going to ask you your favorite pie, and I feel like we got into an argument this one time, you, me, and Jay, about the favorite pie.
Oh, it's
got
to be key lime.
Key lime. But you don't like pumpkin, right? You hate.
No, I'll eat pumpkin, but pecan is.
Oh, yeah, the pumpkin or pecan, yeah.
No, pecan is phenomenal. It's a
no,
food
thank
group.
You.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, we've got a busy show and a good show for you today. Mitch Sherman, 15 minutes away on Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch is in the Little Apple. He's trying to escape the Little Apple, so we'll get caught up with him, talk spring football. It's Big Ten Buffet time. Mr. Rick Pizzo in 1 hour. Our dear friend and former co-host, David Gustafson. Gus is back. Gus is back at 5:25 to talk Nebraska Creighton baseball at TD Ameritrade and also his thoughts on the spring game. And then we have confirmation, high five, double high five, Manuel Allen, wideout from Corona. Four-star wideout, one of the commits for 2018. Manny Allen will be with us at 5:40. We're hoping he'll get done with training around then.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a TJ Henning fan.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, you showed him the picture. You sent a selfie of your Nebraska shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You got on today.
Nice Nebraska polo, yep. That's what got him, for sure.
And top button, too, but I'm not going to judge. So, yeah, we can get into baseball. We can talk some Nebraska football. But most importantly, what is out and headed to your mailbox and on newsstands is the latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. And it is a lot of Tecmo Bowl graphic flavor.
Oh, it's cool.
It's so awesome. I mean, Brandon Vogel, Aaron Babcock, Mike Babcock, Aaron Sorensen, Jacob Padilla. The new issue, listen, I know we're Hail Varsity, so I'm supposed to tell you how great Hail Varsity is. I mean it, first of all. Second of all, the issue here, the State of Husker Nation poll. Thousands chimed in with their thoughts. We'll discuss some of the poll results, but do yourself a favor. You can subscribe, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Get to a newsstand and get yourself the latest issue of Hail Varsity because it is diving into the mind and expectation of Nebraska football fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say this. The poll results were tabulated pre-spring game. I think you can feel better about fall 2017 because of your spring game. And I can ask Nebraska fans what they feel and why they feel it because and trust it because Nebraska fans are going to look you in the eye. They're going to shake your hand. It'll be a firm handshake. They aren't going to BS you. They won't. They will not BSU. The expectation level, while high, I think there's some realistic parts, and I also believe there's just football knowledge. Absolute football knowledge. So you can trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into it here. But Herbie Husker is on the cover of the Hail Varsity issue. His arms are crossed. It's the Abercrombie and Fitch Herbie Husker. It's not the blonde-haired, heavier set overall wearing. It's the current Herbie Husker. I remember the old Herbie Husker a little bit. The football under his arm. He wasn't going to fumble ever. Okay. So that whole search for reality and what is Nebraska reality? And we try and give that to you with the State of Husker Nation poll. So there are several questions here asked and even kind of angled towards you, your neighbor, your father, your brother. You may know him or her as Run the Ball Guy or Run the Ball Gal. Out of all the questions here, things have shifted. And I may be even not changing, but I might become more open-minded. For years, I have screamed and demanded a physical attack. Run the football when you have to run it. Be able to run the football when you have to run it. It's not just a want, but when you need to run it. And will Nebraska be able to do that in 2017? I don't know. You ask Coach Riley, he doesn't know. You ask the offensive line, they don't know. They want to, but will they be able to?
And do you feel like everybody feels that way just because that's what they grew up with?
The power on the option.
They just want the dominant run.
It tugs at your heartstrings because you know it, you love it, and it worked.
Yep.
It wasn't so much aesthetic beauty.
No.
It's a hell of a lot cooler to see a drop back play action pass 50 yards downfield, someone running stride for stride with a DB, and that pass dropped in. And you've also died by it for those years you couldn't beat Florida State or Miami.
Yeah. And I love the option, but just
I don't know
about today's 2017 college football if it's the offense I'd want us to run.
No, I mean it was perfect then.
Yep.
And with the right coach, it could be perfect now, because it was a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's kind of like that. Whatever the most expensive steak you ever bought was, that's what it was. It was rare. It was phenomenal. And you'd order it again.
Yeah, and then you get the right guys like Gil.
Yeah, you get the
Rozier,
right dudes.
And it just looks perfect.
Yeah, and first of all, you get the linemen that are incredible. And then the skilled guys. So out of all the State of Husker Nation questions, and I like how Vogel put this, let's talk what category, what group you're in. Are you run the ball guy? Are you pass the ball guy? Or are you prevent points guy? That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And that's the categories you go into. And in college football today, I think you got to kind of turn yourself into prevent points guy. And that's what the poll result was. What style of football do you believe gives Nebraska the best chance for success? Do you agree with this? The overwhelming response, about 80% said
like 74,
dominant defense. Yeah. Shy of 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Dominant defense gives you the best chance for success. Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And can threes be on the board instead of sevens? It comes down to situational football. It comes down to lack of big plays. How many games?
I mean, you're not going to get the 0-9 dominant defense every year, but man, you see that?
You won 10 games, allowing 10 points. Think about that just for a second.
No, yeah.
You allowed 10 points. Your scoring defense was 10 a game. Maybe it was 12, but it was below two touchdowns. So they got a field goal and a touchdown on you. Okay? That was it.
Yeah.
And you lost four games that year. Now, Leach and Tech went for 31.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only time they... You should have been able to score 31 on that Tech defense.
Yeah, for sure.
You didn't. You scored 10. Okay, what is the minimum requirement for this year to be deemed a success? And here are your options with the State of Husker Nation poll with Hale Varsity. 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, division championship, conference championship. And the overwhelming favorite, a little bit down from the 2016 poll, but the 2017 poll says it is still 9 wins.
The Bo Pelini number.
Well, kind of the Osborne number.
The Osborne number, too.
That T.O.'s got number 9 copyrighted.
But they only had, what, 10 games, though, usually?
12. 12 to 13.
12 to 13.
Yeah. But they had 12, 11 regular season in the bowl game. But still, you go 9 out of 12, you're still 9-3. But, you know, you're losing to a couple of top five teams, one being Oklahoma or Colorado, and probably your non-conference game if it was a road game. The main non-conference game. Listen, when I look at this as success, my definition is going to be this. Nebraska can be in that window of 7, 8, 9 wins, okay? But I look at Nebraska, and I look at their schedule, and I understand, and I haven't dropped the standard. I think the standard as a whole to be great has dialed back. I mean, think of this. Just think of this world of college football. Okay, Ohio State last year lost twice. Alabama last year got beat in the championship game. Clemson lost to Pitt and could have lost three other games. Coulda. I get it. Mm-hmm. USC looked phenomenal by the end of the year. That's how they're remembered. They're not remembered by getting 50 hung on them by Bama to start the year. SC was a three-loss team. Penn State, as hot as they got, were a three-loss team. Michigan lost three games. Sparty didn't even go to a bowl game. Team that's gone to the playoff first in the Big Ten. So this nine-win thing is nice, but there's kind of razor-thin margin to be 10-3, 11-3 with your bowl win, or 9-4. I mean, there's not that much of a jump, in my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 wins means you're close. Now it comes down to how are you losing your 3 to 4 games. And that's, to me, what I got to see from Nebraska. If they get around that 9-10 number, it means they've won the West. And I know they won nine games last year, and they were still technically in it with some help to win the West till Iowa stomped them. But be in contention to win the West. I think as nice as Northwestern's looked and as good as Minnesota has been, and they could even up their game with their new coach, Mr. Motivational Speaker. Point is shift your fortune against Wisconsin and Iowa. At least split with those guys, and you're going to be at 9 wins. And if you split with those two, you win the West. And you're going to have a run of either Ohio State or Michigan in the regular season crossover here the next few years if you're Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So play well against them and occasionally beat them in Lincoln. That's kind of where I agree that 9, but I think this team should be in it to the final weekend, Black Friday against Iowa, with a chance to go to Indianapolis on the line. That, and if you fall short, say you get swept next year by Wisconsin and Iowa again, that would hurt. But how are you getting swept? Is it 40-10 or is it overtime? Again, how close are you?
Mm-hmm.
Back to that 9 and 10 win number, because you win 9, the next step's 10, and then maybe you make a progression to 11 or 12. If you get hot, you get special. And how lucky do you get? Your quarterback hit? Is your death money on the offensive line? Can you find a running game? Can Stanley catch 14 passes a game and not be checked? And can your defense go keep points down again? Because that is what you circled that gives you the greatest chance for success. It's a dominant defense. And a dominant defense in today's college football where each week's a freaking roller coaster, and a team like Pitt can roll into Death Valley and beat the national champion on a game-winning field goal around that 40-point number. Keep teams below 28. That sounds so large. But keep teams between 24 and 28 points consistently, and I think you're there with a dominant defense.
I feel like in the past we've talked about measuring success, and I think you and I both agree about conference championships. And what did we establish, maybe, Schmidt? Every 3 to 5 years, you should be playing for that conference championship?
I think every other year.
Every other year?
I honestly think if you want to talk Jimmys and Joes on your roster, how that continues to grow, the depth you've put together, the staff you have in place, you have better players. Now, I'll give Wisconsin the development edge. They've shown the ability under the Alvarez regime to develop, but there's no reason you lose to Wisconsin here every other year. Bottom line is go win a road game in Madison or Iowa City. And if you don't win the road game there, take care of them at home. But the schedules are the same. You're at Wisconsin, you're at Iowa, or they're coming here. So every other year, sweep them or split with them. Mitch Sherman's coming up. More on the State of Husker Nation poll with Hail Varsity. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Can you hear it? Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with ESPN.com and magazines. Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how you doing?
I am well, Chris. How are you?
Doing okay. And we are catching you right as you're leaving Kansas State, correct?
I am walking out of the Veneer Football Complex, headed back to the northern lands where you are.
There you go. Well, cool. Before we get into spring football in Nebraska, what are you doing down in Manhattan? Sightseeing?
Yeah, of course. As always, looking at the sunflowers, checking out the lake here, Tuttle Creek Lake. Now, I just getting a final look at the Wildcats before K-State has a spring game on Saturday here in Manhattan. Bill Snyder of course has been a story of interest through this offseason and continues into the spring. And Kansas State is a team that's in our rankings, our offseason, preseason, way too early, whatever you want to call them, rankings. So we paid a lot of attention to the Wildcats this year, and even more so because of Coach Snyder and his fight with cancer. He's, as you know, done with treatment for throat cancer and has been back with the team through all of spring practice, which comes to an end in a couple days.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, what are your thoughts about Nebraska's spring game? If you had to pick one element that stood out most to you on or off the field, what was it?
Well, I would probably start with off the field. If I was going to stick to on the field, I would look at the quarterbacks, and that's the story coming out of it. I think is how those guys played, how seasoned Tanner Lee looked in throwing three touchdowns and doing some good work. But if you're going to give me the option to take something off the field, then I would say the biggest takeaway from the spring game in Nebraska last week is how strong of a recruiting week it was for the Huskers. And this is perhaps a preview of things to come with official visits ready to take hold next spring and certainly be a part of the spring game a year from now. Of course, the 80,000 plus people in the stadium is a great thing to have, to be able to showcase for those kids who come in, and for Nebraska to leave the weekend with the success that it had in taking a big step with that class of 2018. You know, that's the enduring image that I'll have from the weekend in Lincoln. The scrimmage was a wrap on spring practice, and you don't need to see anything other than the defensive front that Nebraska lined up in to know that it probably is not indicative of everything that happened in spring practice. It's no more important than the other 14 practices that Nebraska had through March and April, and in some ways a little bit less important. There are things that you can't simulate and recreate in practice, the atmosphere with the crowd included, but you didn't see a lot of what you will see from Nebraska in 2017 on the field, I don't think, other than some of the personnel, of course.
Mitch Sherman with us, ESPN.com and magazine. That atmosphere was hypnotic. Nebraska able to get several verbal commits, some high-profile guys, Radley Hiles, Manny Allen, Wildeman, the defensive end that some of Nebraska's peers in the Big Ten West were really interested in. So that was a weekend well-served, and Nebraska had been putting a lot of investment in prior to the spring game with those kids. What do you think of Coach Riley, his staff, and how dynamic it's been with Nebraska off the field recruiting? Not just high profile guys, but winning some battles to this date against some major programs and major programs from these kids' home state.
I think the staff is hitting its stride as a group of recruiters, and that's a great feather to have in your cap. Doesn't guarantee you anything, but it's of course important to the success that you envision for your program. I think they have moved past the transition period, well past the transition period that Riley and his staff had in those first few months to the first year on the job at Nebraska, and now they've taken another step this year with some of the moves that have been made and are now firmly in place, especially on the defensive side. I think Bob Diaco brings to this staff a dynamic presence that's felt on the field, in the meeting rooms, and on the recruiting trail. And, you know, while, again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves and proclaim him as anything that he has not yet proven himself to be at this school, signs are positive. Things look good for what his impact will be based on the results that Nebraska is seeing in recruiting, and I think some of the impact that he's made. And the same thing can be said a year later for John Perella. We're a year down the road from his hire. I think that Riley has improved his staff considerably as a group of recruiters since those initial months on the job. And, you know, now it's past time. It is the time, however you want to look at it, for the work that these coaches have done in recruiting to pay dividends in the months of September, October, November, December, and you know that's what we're waiting for with the growth of this program.
That is the next step, translated on to the practice field, and from the practice field on to the, you know, 7 o'clock kickoff against Ohio State. From a talent acquisition standpoint, I mean, you look at Ohio State, and that's who you're chasing. You're chasing Ohio State. You're chasing Penn State, Michigan, and you still need to win the West. You haven't done that for 5 years. But based on the guys Nebraska is getting, and they've been able to sign in past classes, is Nebraska closing the gap talent-wise, at least with some of the personnel they're bringing in? Obviously, they got to translate it.
Yeah, well, the gap was wide, and I think the gap still is wide. If you want to take 85 guys on scholarship on Ohio State's roster and compare them to the 85 guys on scholarship on Nebraska's roster, it's fortunate for Nebraska, and you didn't see this in the game last year in Columbus, but it's fortunate for Nebraska that's not how you play football. It's 11 against 11, and you're 11 better than they're 11 on more plays than they are not in a game. And there's a big difference between that kind of competition and comparing 85 against 85 on your roster, or 115 against 115, whatever it might be, if you want to include the non-scholarship players. So I think it's important for Nebraska and Nebraska fans not to get caught up in comparing every recruit in a class or having a roster breakdown. Nebraska's going to build its team the way that Mike Riley wants to. Urban Meyer's going to do things his way. I think Ohio State is generally going to finish higher in recruiting rankings because of all kinds of variables out there that are just not worth Nebraska's time to get obsessed about. So from how you win football games, yeah, I think the gap is closing. And I think you'll see that in years to come. It's not going to be 62-3 the next time they play. I would certainly expect not. But, there's still a lot of work to be done in that area.
The NCAA approved earlier official visits to be paid for by the school, moved that up into the spring, and that window is spring to summer. And instead of the senior year, it can be a prospect's junior year. They've dialed back the satellite camps. They've green-lighted the 10th assistant coach. I think you got to kind of check out case by case when you bring a kid in. But, Mitch, what do you think's more effective, a spring game atmosphere for Nebraska, or when you get that big night game at Memorial Stadium during the season? You have more time if you're Riley during the spring, but you may have more impact because of who's coming in during the season. What do you think's the best path?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's going to depend on the kid. And there are times where it's going to benefit Nebraska to use an official visit, and you get one with each kid. I mean, there's no coming back in the fall. If you use an official visit in April, then that's it. You know, you better hope that made a great impression on that guy, and he's either ready to commit or he's going to remember everything that happened on that visit come the time when he makes his decision. Otherwise, you want to wait until the fall. The problem comes in, or I guess the real hard thought for Nebraska comes in when you don't know if that guy is going to be around in September or October you don't know if he's going to be available on the recruiting market as you try to decide whether you should extend that official visit invitation in March, April, or May. As a general rule of thumb for Nebraska, and Mike Riley told me this last week before the vote, they're not going to be real enthusiastic about bringing kids in for official visits in the spring unless they feel there's a good chance they can get a commitment.
Okay.
And that's I don't know that that'll be hard and fast. I think there may be instances where they feel like a guy isn't ready to commit, but he will be over the summer months. So you better use that visit now because he's going to be taking all of his visits in the spring. If that's the case, maybe an exception will be made. But by and large, for the most part, if Nebraska extends an official visit invitation and that kid comes in March, April, and May, and he does not commit during that time, then that is not seen as a defeat for Nebraska in recruiting. That's seen as a long uphill battle from that point to then bring that kid into your recruiting class.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, you had a chance to check out the Royals on Friday, I think. How was the family trip?
I did, and we will take a small portion of credit for the Royals resurgence and their 500 record going into this series with the Giants tonight. So. Saw a 7-1 victory. Saw Danny Duffy pitch well. Saw Salvi and Moose hit home runs. So my kids were happy. I was happy.
Hello.
It's 12 games in, and I'm happy with where they're at.
Mitch, you cut out, but the consensus is the Sherman family is responsible.
Yep, we're good with the work that we've done, and we'll go back if they need us again anytime.
Well, I like it. Mitch Sherman with us. Mitch, we'll catch up next week, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Good to get caught up with Mitch Sherman. We tapped the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. You can join us as we get back to State of Husker Nation, 466-377-6 or 800-825-5865. More Hail Varsity, straight ahead.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jaybird in tomorrow, maybe additionally this week. We're negotiating. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, thank you to Mitch Sherman. 1 hour from now, Manny Allen, Manuel Allen, wideout from Corona. Four-star commit for 2018. Heard from Buki yesterday. We'll get Manny on the horn in an hour. David Gustafson, as he's getting ready for Creighton and Nebraska baseball. We'll get Gus's thoughts. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, 20 minutes away. State of Husker Nation poll results are out in the latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. And by the way, get an issue and see the amazing photography by Aaron Babcock. I've got the middle portion of the magazine open right now. I'll tweet a picture of this out. But Aaron took the picture of the American flag covering the from end zone to end zone as we sang the national anthem Saturday at Memorial Stadium. You and 70,000 of your closest, close to 80,000 of your closest buddies. So quite a shot from Aaron in the magazine. Really good seriousness as we look at the pictures here of O'Brien and Tristan and Tanner Lee. Okay, we've gone through a few of the questions and results for the State of Husker Nation poll. Okay, what's your minimum requirement for the season to be a success? The survey says 9 wins. Do you agree with that? Also, style of football gives you the best chance for success. Dominant run game, dominant pass game, dominant defense. 70%+ says defense. And in the Scorefest era of college football right now, I think that's good. Doesn't matter how you score. You're just going to put up some points offensively. But can you stop them? And can defense win championships? It's a great, great take. Whoever came up with that, I'd like to know if we can get who copyrighted defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. Chuck Knoll, Steelers, Steel Curtain, 70s. I don't know.
I heard a recent one, offense sells tickets. I haven't heard that in a while.
Well, it does.
Peanut Tillman said that one.
Yeah, well, he's right.
As a defender, yeah, he's not a friend of those offensive guys.
Is it a pick or is it a rub?
Yeah.
Guess what's happening inside the five?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch formation. I didn't attempt to block you. It can't be a pick. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's get to the face of the program in 2017.
This was an interesting one.
It was. Here were your candidates for face of the program. Tanner Lee, Stanley Morgan, DeMorne Pearson-Ale, Nick Gates, Stoltenberg, O'Brien, Drew Brown, Keyshawn Jr., Josh Kalu, Chris Jones. Don't confuse best individual with face.
Yeah. Or you could have voted for anybody on the roster. It's just who you thought was
who's the
face.
And let's be honest, the face of the program right now is Riley.
Yeah, or my off-the-wall answer was Bob Diaco for just this coming season.
It could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a player.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, it's your quarterback.
Yep.
And this year, you know who I'm going to, like, give it to? When I think of Nebraska football this year.
Has it changed from, because a month ago my answer was Nick Gates.
See, and
but I felt like the default answer would be whoever wins the starting QB.
But you don't know a ton about him. Mm-hmm. Here's what you've taken away from Tanner Lee. And by the way, Tanner Lee got the people's vote. 22% of you said he was the face of Nebraska football in the Hail Varsity State of Husker Nation
for 2017.
Poll.
Yep.
For 2017, 22% say it's Tanner Lee, just edging out Stanley Morgan at 18.7%. And I think Stanley's the guy you think of. Stanley's still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my quick thought on Tanner Lee. And we had Tanner on when he transferred in a couple years ago. Was it a year ago? A couple years ago. Might have been last signing day, not the 2017 signing day, but the 2016.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had Tanner Lee on. Good dude. But he doesn't act like a quarterback. And quarterbacks don't take that the wrong way. But he didn't roll in and exude cockiness. He doesn't. And maybe I've just been around too many quarterbacks in my life, but there's that kind of aura they always carry.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. And they're all good dudes. Crouch is a good dude. You had Zach Taylor, great dude. But they just, there's just something about them where they're kind of cool, kind of calm. And I'll give Lee that. He's calm, but he hates talking about himself. He despises it. And I really respect that. There's too much, let's see how loud I can shout going on out there in the world.
Yeah.
And Lee, and the thing that like drove it home was post-game, when he's up at the podium doing his job, talking. He wasn't comfortable, which is fine. Public speaking sucks. I get it. In front of people in a room, I kind of like this. But different.
Yep.
Okay. So I look at Lee in the post game. He just didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Him and Patrick both did a good job of it, but it's just not their personality to like own a room. Now I think they can own a huddle. And the thing that kind of drove home to me this quarterback chase, as the waiting game continues with, are you going to name a starter or not, Mike, is just how his teammates react to him. And mm-hmm. it's Damon Benning on the sideline for the Big Ten Network talking to Tanner Lee. And then a group of teammates hover around him and start mean-mugging him, trying to get him to crack up.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley's hilarious. DeMornay's funny. Ozigbo's there. And even Patrick kind of peeks over the fence, you know, over mm-hmm. the shoulder pad. So I think his teammates really like his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But from a commanding personality standpoint, he just wants to go play ball and leave the other crap out there.
So the guy who came in third was DeMornay Pearsonell.
That's the face of the program to me in 2017.
And I feel like if he were to have a repeat of his freshman season or greater, he definitely will be by season's end be the face of the program for 2017.
He needs to be the guy you think of for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's DeMornay Pearsonell. He's already done it as a young pup. He's battled back from injury. He's worked through inconsistency at quarterback last year. And he's the dude that can put it all together for you.
Yep.
Catching the football in the jet sweep game and in the return game.
Yeah, in the special teams.
And he's the senior. He's the momentum giver, and he's looking phenomenal. He looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He's excited. And he's a freak athlete. He can go up and make plays. And when he's been healthy, he's done it. He's absolutely done it against Minnesota. I mean, he's got a highlight reel to send to the NFL against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And his freshman year against Michigan State in the return game and against Iowa to end the season. So Tanner Lee has been deemed the face of the program in 2017 per the Hale Varsity State of Husker Nation poll. But my vote goes to DeMornay Pearsonell because he is a senior. He's been through hell and back. And if Nebraska's going to have a big year, Pearsonell will have the big year. And I think he can totally do it. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Big Ten Buffet, Mr. Rick Pizzo. Husker wideout, verbal commit for 2018, Manuel Allen, Corona High School Centennial, is going to be with us in less than an hour. David Gustafson, it's the return of Gus, not from Better Call Saul. Great episode last night. But we've been talking State of Husker Nation poll. We'll get Pizzo's thoughts on that. And also Gus's, because I mean, Gus has an opinion. I know Rick has an opinion at Sauner Heyman on Pure Grown Diamonds, and his opinion will likely be your opinion when you go check out Pure Grown Diamonds. What are Pure Grown Diamonds, you might ask? Well, they're 100% real diamonds. The exception is they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth, and they have all the characteristics of earth mined diamonds, and they're very, very beautiful. When you think of diamonds, you think of Sauner Heyman, eco-friendly, and 10 to 40% off, or I should say less. Hit the brakes there. 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. Go see how beautiful they are for yourself. Some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Hayman history, and Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds, Sauter Hayman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island. You know, I think, you know what I think would cheer up David Fizdale is a trip to Sauter Hayman.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly he won't get any ring nor diamonds this year.
No.
Because he has pulled the grenade pin and decided to blow not just him, but his team up. I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah.
It's game one. I'm going to, instead of help my situation by staying quiet, I'm going to set the whole place on fire.
Yeah. And you just read some data about Sauter Hayman that he could, you know, find out about it, you know. Yeah,
like 10 to 40%.
Yeah.
That's the likelihood you're gonna get any call.
Take that data.
The next game, the next two, three, four, and God love you if you get a fifth game.
I mean, yeah, I think he's just trying to avoid the sweep at this point, but man, he was fired up something fierce last night. Memphis has already made t-shirts out of that saying already, and they look very cool.
Don't rook us.
No, the take that data.
No, I know.
Okay, but
don't
yeah.
rook us,
but
take
yeah,
that
don't
data.
Rook us, yeah.
I mean, that's, you got to have both. Don't rook us on the front, take that data on the back.
Yeah, I didn't have the don't rook us part, but that should definitely be included too.
God. Now, looking at those numbers, and Uncle Nate is a major San Antonio fan. I mean, this time of year, it gets almost bloody between him and the fam. Traditionally, it was OKC, Spurs. Spurs,
yep.
Crap talking between the two entities.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's a bit of a divide between kind of wanting Russ to do okay, keep an eye on Golden State with Durant, even yep. though he's out for two games, it sounds like. And then, you know, the Spurs fan in Uncle Nate. So, but, I, you know, one of the two NBA games I've been to, I've seen Memphis. And I've seen Conley. I love him. I mean, he's great. I like their team. I like Randolph. I remember when he played at Michigan State, for God's sake.
Do you know Conley has never got a technical
no, I know.
In his entire NBA career?
You know why? Because he just shuts up and plays.
I know. I
maybe
love it.
Maybe his coach should, and I'll take notes on that. You're not going to win. The NBA ain't going to back you all of a sudden for calling out the Zebras. They are so fearful of the officiating in the league as it is. Hour two, Pizzo's next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour two, great to have you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Husker Blackshirt NFLer Jay Moore. In tomorrow, maybe more this week, we are going to, well, he can't go anywhere. We're going to talk NFL draft with him. Maybe he'll retell that story about him and Marshawn Lynch. That was a good one. We welcome in. It's Big Ten Buffet time. Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo with us. Mr. Rick, how are you?
Life is fantastic, my friend. Celebrated a wonderful Easter weekend with the family in town. Hope you got to do the same.
I did. I went to the in-laws, but I tell you what, I was bribed with bone-in ham. And Uncle Andy, my brother-in-law, did some sort of bourbon honey glaze.
See, you got me with the very first part of that. You said bourbon. I did honey glazed ham was in there somewhere. None of the rest really mattered to me.
Oh, Pizzo, it was to I'm die in. For. It was so good. Man, I just ate and then I fell asleep. That's what happens. Nebraska looked good offensively Saturday. Let's talk spring game, Rick, to start out. And everything's grain of salt. You got to kind of put a disclaimer in.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, were you impressed? Did you like what you saw with Nebraska?
quarterbacks, you have to say yes, right? I mean, both Lee and O'Brien looked terrific. I thought Lee looked especially sharp. I mean, the accuracy, the velocity, his clear command of the offense. We won't hear, obviously, Chris, you know this better than I will, than I do. We won't hear anything from the coaching staff as to who is the favorite to win that job or who's the starter until fall, and I'm guessing probably late into the fall. But you have two great options. I think the second biggest takeaway is the 3-4 that we were all waiting to see, we didn't get to see. So the questions that you have to ask, and I understand why, are either the personnel is not catching up with it fast enough for them to want to make it public, or you don't want to show your hand publicly. I understand both of those thought processes, but I think obviously we can tell a lot more about the offense for Nebraska than we can about the defense after the spring game.
No, you got depth at quarterback, and you got guys that can sling it. Riley wasn't ready to comment. This week is a meeting week. This week is a chance to talk with offensive coordinators and coaches. And then, Rick, I'd be surprised if we don't know who the starter is in a week.
You really think so?
Riley's said that a couple of times. He's hinted at that anyway, that I don't think he's going to let it drag out. And I think a guy like Patrick O'Brien, who played really well, who's an early enrollee himself, a redshirt freshman, I think he played well enough to know that this isn't overwhelming. And if I do lose the starting spot, look, I mean, Tanner Lee's going to be 23, okay? He's been in college 5 years. If I lose out, there's a good chance maybe he's gone after a year to the NFL. I think he'll stick around.
Yeah, I think you make some very valid points. I will be honest with you, though. I will be surprised. And you guys see Mike, you talk to Mike, obviously, a lot more frequently than I do. I just base it on what I've seen from coaches in the Big Ten the last couple of years that have been in similar scenarios. And I know that Harbaugh is among the most secretive guys in the world, but Urban did it with Cardale and JT a few years ago as well. It is really hard. To your point, you want to make sure that you have both guys emotionally invested for as long as you possibly can.
Let's talk quarterbacks for a second. And you look at the Big Ten landscape, you have JT back. McSorley is going into his second year as a starter. Spate also doing that. Hornibrook saw good minutes for Wisconsin. Legau for Indiana was very talented. Blau and Thorson. Blau needs help, but the guy can throw it. And Thorson, I mean, Northwestern's really talented offense, and Thorson was dynamite in a lot of games last year. I've just reeled off a lot of teams in the Big Ten with returning quarterbacks or talented quarterbacks. Do you think the Big Ten is sitting better than most when it comes to Power 5 returning quarterbacks?
Well, I think if a few of those guys that you mentioned can kind of figure out the issues that have held them back, and David Blau has been remarkably inconsistent. He has the talent, but he has not done it game in and game out. Richard Lego has a rocket arm, but he throws it, unfortunately, way too often to guys wearing the wrong colored jerseys. Alex Hornibrook does not have a great physical skill set, but he understands the game, and he wins. Now, you talk about a guy like Trace McSorley. He has all the weapons. He has all the talent. He has an offense that he is absolutely going to flourish in once again this year. Big question with Wilton Spate, can he do it with less talent surrounding him? JT Barrett, can he adjust with the Kevin Wilson offense coming in that I think will be a big benefit for them? But of all those guys, the most intriguing to me is Clayton Thorson. And the reason why is that he loses Austin Carr, who was one of the most surprising players in the country last year, an All-American at wide receiver. But Justin Jackson is back. Jackson's gone for over 1,000 yards, 3 straight seasons for Northwestern. No one else has ever done that. Can Thorson take that next step? Because if he can, and if he can become one of the top-tier quarterbacks inside the Big Ten, I think Northwestern becomes the favorite to win the West.
You look at the situation Nebraska's in, Iowa, Minnesota. They're looking for quarterbacks. Does Nebraska right now have the advantage with their options from what you've seen?
Oh, without question. I mean, I think Minnesota has a couple of good quarterbacks. I think Connor Rhoda probably eventually gets the nod. You know, Iowa has a ton of question marks. I think from a strictly talent standpoint, and again, I think we do have to take it. I think you used the phrase grain of salt. I think that's exactly what you have to take spring games for, because that was not the Nebraska defense that the rest of the Big Ten will see that those quarterbacks were playing against. The defenses that they are going to see are going to be a lot more complex, going to throw a lot more curveballs at you. So those numbers were fantastic, but they don't tell the entire story for Nebraska's quarterbacks. Definitely a step in the right direction, though.
No, absolutely. And the thing that Nebraska's been able to do is evaluate talent, get in, and then develop. O'Brien in the running for this starting job, vastly different than when he came in. He's had a year to learn and tutor. Jebbia, the true freshman, looked arguably the best
yep.
out of anybody on Saturday. And, man, his future's big time. And then you have Tanner, who had a chance to kind of get things rolling, splitting scout team stuff with the Sunday scrimmages he took part in with Nebraska. Rick Pizzo's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, I want to go back to Barrett real quick. What's your impression of Coach Wilson when it comes to not only play calling, but his work and development with quarterbacks? I look at Langsdorf and Riley and kind of the technical work they do, and then obviously the route tree they put together, just the workouts they ask their quarterbacks to do. You see improvement. It's got to translate to game time, obviously. But with Kevin Wilson, what's his history with quarterbacks, in your opinion, when he was at Indiana? What do you think he can do for Ohio State's quarterback spot?
Well, I think what Kevin Wilson is really good at is taking a quarterback skill set, making it fit his offense, and making it really effective. He's had running quarterbacks in the past at Indiana, and then he's had a quarterback like Nate Sudfeld, who I could outrun, and that's saying something. But Sudfeld had a great arm, and he could throw it to a spot. And Kevin Wilson was able to have success with different kind of guys. And people also forget now that Kevin Wilson coached Devine Redding, who had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He coached Jordan Howard, who had a 1,000-yard season in the same year that Redding did 2 years ago, and the year before that, Tevin Coleman had a 1,000-yard season. I think people have this misconception that Kevin Wilson is just throwing the ball all over the yard because Indiana scored a bunch of points. He also utilizes the run game, and JT Barrett can be very dangerous with what Urban calls the Q run. I think this is a perfect marriage. I think the offense that we see from Ohio State this year is going to be the offense that we expected to see last year. Don't forget, Mike Weber's back, Big Ten Freshman of the Year offensively. I just think that this offense, even with some holes on the O-line and at wide receiver, is going to have a huge benefit with Kevin Wilson calling the plays.
Nebraska's trying to get up to speed, depth of talent-wise, to their peers in the Big Ten. They do so through recruiting. It's been another big recruiting weekend for Nebraska, and they had upwards of 40 kids, be it 2018 or 19 kids, that are highly rated prospects, some skill spots, some defensive standouts, and Nebraska already with a number of commitments on that weekend. What do you think about Coach Riley? Yes, it's the final practice of the spring, but his evolution from the first time he got to Lincoln to year three now, making the spring game weekend a recruiting carnival.
Oh, I think it's an absolutely brilliant move. You also have to remember that Mike Riley, during his introductory press conference, said that he had actually never been inside Memorial Stadium, that he had driven past it a couple of times, but basically before the job interview process started, he had never been in. So while he was a guy that had been around football his entire life, Chris, and been around understanding what was important in the history of football, he had never been able to truly embrace it. Listen, I would say the same thing. I had never been there before we started covering Husker football, and the first time that I went, I was blown away. So it takes you a year or two to get into it and understand exactly the path of it, and I think he is now understanding the power. I mean, think about that. Think about what you can say to a recruit when you look up and see some 70, 80,000 people in the stands for a spring game, and then you look at them and say, imagine what it's like here on a Saturday in October when Ohio State's in town. I mean, there is no better selling point than that.
No, and he's turned it into a showcase. A showcase offensively, and then a showcase for the recruits, and they've responded with some commits. All right, the Hail Varsity State of Husker Nation issue is out. Mr. Pizzo, you've seen a bit of it. I've texted you a couple pictures. I'm going to ask you a couple questions here before we say goodbye. Listen, I know the SAT is happening this weekend for college students, prospective college students. I don't want to go that route. It was not a good experience for me. That's more on me than the test. I need to ask you some questions, though. And how were you as a test taker? Did you nail it usually growing up?
I was not bad. My SATs bailed out the fact that I never, quote, lived up to the my potential as a student.
so you were a midterm and finals guy. You weren't a daily homework guy.
Daily, it was more like monthly. I didn't want to be a monthly homework guy.
Okay, so it was just the little things slash every day you got to turn. Okay, I get what you're at. When push came to shove, you nailed it. Okay, I get it. Okay, so here's one of the questions. What style of football do you believe gives Nebraska the best chance for success? And here are your choices. Dominant run game, dominant pass game, or dominant defense. What would you choose?
I would choose dominant defense. I really would. I think that you can win with a balanced offense that doesn't have to be dominant offensively or defensively. I think that was Michigan last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did not have a run or a pass game that was absolutely dominant. Wilton Spate was a very good quarterback. He put up some great numbers, but they really did not have much of a run game late in the year. Their defense kept them in games, won them a lot of games. I think in this league, in today's era of college football, when so many offenses can find so many different ways to score, I think defense is the number one key for Nebraska.
All right, let's move on here. What'll be the primary reason for improvement on the offense for Nebraska? Offensive line play, running back play, wide receiver play, or quarterback play?
Wow. I mean, I think I would have to say offensive line play only because it's a process of elimination. I mean, I think there have been enough questions on the offensive line, and Tommy Armstrong was a guy, for all the criticism he took, Chris, he could overcome bad offensive line play because of his escapability and what he could do with his feet and his legs. So the question then becomes, depending on what quarterback you go with, does that quarterback have that same kind of ability? That's one of the toughest things to do, and the best way to bail out that quarterback, help him and everybody out, is to have an offensive line that can pass block and run block.
Of the thousands who responded, 61% and change, 61.4% say quarterback play. But second in this poll question, 35% say offensive line play, minimal with running back and wide receiver. It's either one or the other, and it's the chicken or the egg. Is the O-line going to help the quarterback, or is the quarterback going to help the O-line? Mr. Pizzo, you'll get off the old hot seat here after this last question. And do you think the primary reason for improvement on defense in 2017 will be the new scheme, the new coordinator, defensive line play, linebacker play, or defensive back play?
I think it's linebacker play. And okay. I think it almost goes into the new scheme, because when you go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, what you're basically doing is asking those linebackers to get a little bit of extra responsibility, to make sure your edge-to-edge coverage is the right way, and to fill those gaps. So those inside linebackers become so important. And if there was a defensive star in that game on Saturday, I mean, is Luke Gifford ready to become an absolute defensive star? You know, maybe he is. So I think the linebackers are going to be absolutely key. I know I'm probably in the minority in that vote, because I think everybody's wondering about Bob Diaco, the new coaching and the new scheme. But as all my good friends here will tell me, it's not about the X's and O's. It's first and foremost about the Jimmies and the Joes.
There we have it. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo, the Big Ten Buffet, and 75.8% said the new defensive coordinator is their main reason for the improvement of the defense.
Not surprised.
But I like the linebacker call, and Gifford's been a beast, absolutely. Mr. Pizzo, we'll catch up again, my man. Have a great show tonight and this week, and thanks for giving us a few minutes, man. Love talking with you.
My pleasure, Schmitty, every week, buddy.
Take care. All right, Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo, watch him tonight, and watch him throughout Big Ten coverage. We didn't even get to Husker baseball with him. Slap me. We'll give Gus a couple questions here at the State of Husker Nation poll. See how he does it. We'll talk Husker baseball with him, as he'll have the call for Creighton tonight. Don't hate Gus. You might even mix in a Pollos Hermanos reference.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with a... Well, he's always going to be part of Hail Varsity. He's kind of like the Mafia. You can't leave it. David Gustafson with us, does Creighton baseball, and, of course, longtime co-host of Hail Varsity Radio. And in honor of Gus and Better Call Saul and Pollo Sormanos, we're both wearing shirts. You just can't see us. Gus, how you doing?
That's right. And I got that, you know, that Hail Varsity brand on my left shoulder, too. That's fresh. It's kind of still sore.
See, and I tell you what, you going with the branding versus the tattoo, that's different. I like it.
Well, it's never going to leave you, really, you know, unless I guess you get a skin graft, but you don't want to do that either. So, you know, you can always remove a tattoo. The brand, that's for life, buddy.
Right. I mean, people now can check out of their... whatever their ex-girlfriend or wife's name was on the bicep, then they could have that thing sanded off.
That's right. Or, you know, it's a bad weekend and you didn't know what happened and you don't want to know anymore, so you get rid of it.
Gus, how's Creighton's weekends been?
You know what? They've been playing pretty well in Big East play. They have picked it up offensively. They're pitching, and their weekend pitching was always solid, and we knew that going into the year that they would have their front three would be good starters. They're all veteran pitchers, and they've looked like that in Big East play. They took 2 of 3 from a top 15 club in St. John's at home and then went on the road to Georgetown and swept the Hoyas. So they're playing well. They won 6 in a row. Their offense is hitting enough, and they've played good enough defense to win, which is quite a change around from where they were early in the year where, boy, they just couldn't get out of their own way.
So this is kind of a night and day difference here compared to the last time Nebraska in Creighton took the diamond, you're telling me?
Well, they're certainly playing better, let's put it that way. Now, with that being said, it is a midweek game, and traditionally Creighton does not have that fourth midweek starter. Now, years ago, they used to have a true fourth starter where they could go and throw a midweek guy who would look to get 5-6 innings. They don't have that. And so that's always a concern. We're going to see a lot of pitchers. You know, last week, even against South Dakota State, I think there was 9 pitchers in that game. You know, there is a whole handful against Nebraska. So we'll see how they play this game and how they respond after, you know, a little bit extra rest because they had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So you may see a guy get stretched an inning or two here in this midweek game. But again, they are right now putting all their chips in conference play, which, let's be honest, they're not going to go in anywhere unless they win the Big East Conference. So it makes sense for the way that they have to play it here, knowing that they need to save those top arms for the weekend.
David Gustafson with us, Hail Varsity Radio, previewing Nebraska Creighton at TD Ameritrade tonight at D_Gus13. Gus, what's your takeaway with Nebraska right now? They just couldn't step on Iowa, and Iowa got the bats going. I don't know how many home runs were given up, but a ton. And Iowa took 2 of 3 from the Big Red.
Well, I still think Nebraska's... they're a bubble team, but I'd say that they're a bubble team that's in and maybe not even that close to the bubble. I think they're a quality team. They've done enough. Their resume is good enough. Now, they're not in today. You still got to play well down the stretch here. And if they do that, I think they're probably going to be in. You know, they don't play Michigan, who I still think personally is the best team in the Big Ten this season. So they don't play them. Minnesota, I don't know if that's a true team that is going to win the Big Ten. Let's put it that way. You know, they were picked to finish middle of the road, and I still think they may finish there. They haven't really played anybody that has been great this year. You know, they took 1 of 3 from Missouri State. They swept Michigan State, and they took 1 of 3 at Indiana. So I have my doubts about Minnesota. I guess Nebraska is going to find out in a hurry if that's true. But I think Nebraska is right now... you know, it should be able to go up and take the series, maybe not sweep, but win at least 2 of 3 at Minnesota. And they'll be sitting pretty going down the stretch run where teams that they should be able to win the series from. And if you continue to do that, I think they're probably going to be in the regional at some point here later this season, whether they have to win the tournament. I don't think they do. I think they'll get an at-large. But I think they're probably in right now, and they'll stay that way if they continue to play well.
Waldron on the hill tonight for Nebraska. Do you have a gut on who Creighton will throw?
Oh, no. My gut says it'll be Jeff Albrecht to start for
You're him. Not on the hill tonight, are you? You're not?
I might be. Yeah, sure. Why not? Probably Jeff Albrecht, who's the Saturday starter, because it's his bullpen day. It wouldn't surprise me if we see him for an inning. And then it'll be guys like Austin Strohschein, who we have seen pitch against Nebraska in years past. He pitched a couple of weeks ago. And after that, it's maybe an inning for here or for a guy for here. If Creighton could get hold it in there enough, you'll see the back of two guys in the bullpen and Ethan DeCaster and David Gerber come in the eighth and ninth. But it's going to take some good pitching performances from guys that don't really get a lot of innings to get them there. If they're going to survive and get enough to where DeCaster and Gerber will come in, who've been very good this year on the hill in relief, especially in the eighth and ninth innings.
David Gustafson with us, Hail Varsity Radio at @D_Gus13. Nebraska Creighton tonight. Gus will be on the call for it. Let's talk spring ball. Now, I know there's Columbus Mariners duties. That said, you always have one of your eyes on Nebraska football. Were you pretty pleased with the spring this year for the Big Red?
Well, I think there's a lot of question marks, obviously, coming out of it. I know there's some folks that weren't exactly thrilled with the fact that they didn't see much of that new defense that everybody's been talking about, right?
I mean, didn't see any of it.
Right. I mean, so, everybody's got, that's what people were wanting to see when they went to it. A little tease for the spring, but they didn't get to see it. Now, that's all fine and dandy. I don't take a ton out of the spring game. I think it's an opportunity for different guys to get some looks. Obviously, you look at the offense. Maybe there's some big, and let's not say maybe. There's some question marks to the running back, right? So we don't know exactly what that ground game is going to look like. You're going to have to throw the ball around a little bit, but I think you have a guy in Tanner Lee that certainly has the capabilities to do that, and it's an offense under Mike Riley that he fits well into, and so you have a little bit of a comfort zone with him being able to do that, and I think he looked really good, and if that's the direction they're going to go, throw a little bit more. I think Tanner Lee's a very capable guy to lead that offense and to lead them to a lot of success this fall.
Nebraska sitting in a great spot at quarterback with Lee. O'Brien looked good. Jebbia was really, really good for a guy that's an early enrollee. And he performed phenomenally for Nebraska. The Hail Varsity issue is out, Gus. It's got a Tecmo Bowl flavor to it. Herbie with his arms crossed on the cover. The State of Husker Nation poll. You love it. And you've taken it before. And I'm going to quiz you here real quick.
All right.
And Gus, these are final answers now. What's the minimum requirement for success for you, Gus? 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, division title or conference title?
Well, I know it's not fair to say it, but I've always thought that the minimum for a true successful season is 9 wins.
Okay.
And I've always felt that way. I know some people say, well, certain situations, 7 or 8 wins. No, if you have built a program like Nebraska has, and granted the glory days they're really far away from us right now, or at least it feels that way.
Maybe you had hair, right?
I did have hair. It's a great point. Boy, that's been a long time
ago.
You're
going to hang up on me now.
But honestly, though, I think it's 9 wins. That's the bar was always for me to have a successful season. In my opinion, is 9 wins.
Okay. You agree with most of the audience who took the poll. Gus, what gives you the best chance for success at Nebraska? Dominant run game, dominant passing offense, or dominant defense?
It's dominant defense. If you can have a defense that can control the line of scrimmage, can control the secondary, you have an opportunity to be very good no matter what your offense looks like. If your offense has a deficiency in the run game or the passing game, a dominant defense can overcome that. It's not pretty sometimes to win 12-7, but you'd sure take it if you were, had a 10-win season. You had some ugly wins in there because you had a great defense.
Ugly is still beautiful in the fact that it gets you that W. Gus, I'm going to wrap up. Do you believe Nebraska has enough talent to win a conference title?
This season?
Yes.
Well, I think there's some talent there. There's a lot of questions to go with that. If everything would fall right, yes. And again, they're going to have to catch some breaks. You know, that takes some teams that maybe, you know, stub their toe here or there down the road. But it's going to take almost a perfect scenario, I think, to win it this year. I don't think that it's out of question that they can get it done with the staff that they have. But this year, it's a question mark. But again, if everything falls, all the dominoes go in the right order, sure, anything can happen on any given year.
No, and you mean you got a quarterback. Your line needs to come around. You got to be able to run the football, and your D can be really, really talented, but it's year one of a scheme. So you're right with that perfect storm needing to happen. Okay, we've reserved about 90 seconds, Gus, for Columbus Mariner baseball. How's the year been going?
Why did you reserve any time for that?
Because, listen, the Lincoln A's and the Columbus Mariners, there's not a turf war per se, but there's been a couple of games where it's been very interesting. Great sportsmanship, I want to say that. And it's been fun to square off against your organization, Gus.
Well, yeah, you guys played our, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
one of our games? Yeah, well, no, it's good. You know, as a whole, we're doing well as an organization, and more kids involved, got more teams involved this year, which we're really excited about, because for the most part, you know, you're just simply, what we're looking for is get kids interested in playing baseball. And I know that the Lincoln teams have obviously expanded as well, which is great because it's my favorite sport by far. So no matter what level the kids are playing at, I simply want kids playing baseball, and I love it that you know, there's so many more teams in the state playing baseball at a young age.
There's more teams in Lincoln than in the National League.
That's true.
So
great, though. I love it.
No, I know. What's the strength of the team you're coaching right now?
Well, obviously, it's the coaching staff.
You're just a windmill over at third base, aren't you? Send them home.
That's right. I don't know. You know what the strength of it is? Is our kids all like each other. They play together for 3 years, so they got a great team unity. That's what it is.
Well, they want to play for the coach at third, you know.
Sure. Yeah, right. They want to get rid of that guy.
David Gustafson is with us, longtime co-host of Hail Varsity Radio. You hear him on News Talk 900 and other parts of Columbus, and you hear him doing the Creighton broadcast tonight, Nebraska and Creighton at TD Ameritrade Park. Gus, we'll have a cold one soon when we cross paths again. I love talking to you, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, sounds like a great idea, and well, you can buy next time, all right?
He always gives me that. Like, I don't offer. Speaking of offer made to a talented wideout, Manuel Allen, next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Manuel Allen, big time wideout 2018 from Centennial High in Corona. TJ, let's let our listeners down easy.
he's meeting with his coach right now, he just told me. So
tomorrow?
Yes.
Manuel
tomorrow.
Allen?
Hopefully.
Okay.
These type of things, they happen.
Yeah. Damn time difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's right after school. So he's meeting with his coach. Mm-hmm. Far be it from us to, well, have priority.
Yeah.
No, it's all good.
It is.
We'll catch up with Manuel Allen. He's been in great communication with us throughout the last 2 days. Credit to producer of the year, TJ Henning, on that one. So that's where we're at right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865 can join us. Now, you think of Corona, California, not the commercials with the lit-up palm trees or, you know, a beer can rolling down some steps, but Corona, California. And I look at that region of California. It's been very, very productive for Nebraska. Taylor Martinez, Quincy Inunua, both out of Corona, and Centennial, a powerhouse high school. And what Nebraska had here is a kid that was good enough not only to go to SC, but to commit to SC. It's a kid that got a committable offer from the Trojans. And he said, you know what, I'm going to check things out here in Middle America. Had his visit this past weekend. Said, I'm all in with Nebraska. Coach Dub made that happen. And this is, and I want to go back to a guy like Stringfellow, okay? High-profile wideout, big-time wideout, and then ended up at Ole Miss. And he had some nice catches, and I don't know if he declared for the draft, I think, this year. But he wasn't Laquon Treadwell, but he wasn't anything to sneeze at. He's a guy that transferred from Washington, ended up at Ole Miss. And Nebraska has more times than not historically, if they've been in on those type of receivers, not closed the deal. And it's turned out to be the guys like Anunua or Kenny Bell that had some really killer senior film that Nebraska got, developed tremendous. The last high, super high-profile wideout Nebraska got that's produced on field. And you know, I think we all think Lindsey will be good, and I think you think Keyshawn will be all right. I mean, you have some kids now, but they're super young in the program. Jordan Westerkamp, the world wanted, and Jordan absolutely played his heart out and did great things at Nebraska. But now you're seeing a bit of a shift, and you get a guy like Allen that is super dynamic. He's a difference maker, mm-hmm. and he's a defense stressor with what he can do. So you get a guy that was SC good to come to Lincoln and then commit. He was, you know, Oregon, Ole Miss, UCLA. Those were his final four along with Nebraska, and he picked Nebraska. And you have the relationship angle, too, with Keyshawn Johnson Jr., the California connection, Calabrasca. He's not a Calabasas kid. He's from Corona, but he's 6'2". He's 190 pounds. And what you got to have in an offense, you've heard Riley talk about the intermediate passing. You've heard Riley talk about the role of the tight end, role of the running back, okay, role of the slot guy. Well, in order for those guys to make some hay, you need somebody that can take the top off of a defense. Mm-hmm. And we think that DeMornay's super fast, and he is, and you've got Stanley, but who's next in that role of speed demon? And Manny Allen is that guy. He runs a 4.5. I mean, think about, you know, back to Kenny Bell, that example, just how off a play action he could get loose and either just run a go route, I think against Washington to start the game a few years back.
Yeah.
Punch that defense in the face, or even in some short yardage, can he turn in a slant into a house call? Mm-hmm. So you got a guy like that in Allen that just has blazing, blazing speed. But he's also physical. I mean, he's got a bit of a streak in him where he does not shy away from contact. That's different. Yet a lot of the speed guys, they don't want to get hit. And good luck hitting them because they're fast. You're not going to get them in your sights. This guy has played both sides of the football, and he likes contact. And I think he's got quite a bit of maturity to him. And the other thing about him, too, is his hands. The way he uses his hands, either to get off coverage or to finish a block, is impressive. And the other thing is, for him to do what he's doing, we talk a lot about IMG and Buki. Well, you have the Centennial High School. I mean, it's one of the top football programs and schools in the country as well.
After watching the spring practices and spring game, do you think that the receptions for the wide receivers might be going down this coming season by the amount of times they've thrown it to the running back and tight end? Or do you think it may stay the same because the amount of times they might be throwing in the next season?
Man, that's a great question. I think you might have more I think you might have more aborted plays to the wideouts. I think by default you're going to find, if your wideout's covered and the tight end, you can't get it to him quick enough, you're just going to just dump it off to the running back. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that will be because the offensive line will have some struggles from time to time.
Yeah.
I think they can get it pulled together. I think there's enough talent to do so. But when push comes to shove, if you're asking the guy to do anything beyond a three-step, if it is a 5 to 7 step drop under center.
Yeah.
I mean, out of the shotgun, I think they can be okay. But
yeah.
How, I mean, because what I envision, like if things are rolling and there's protection, I mean, right hash, far boundary left, 20-yard comeback, bullet, on the money. Both O'Brien, both Lee, granted against air. The point of it is these guys don't have to dive for it. It was there.
Yeah.
The timing, the accuracy, the proverbial throw on a rope was there, okay? That's what it was. You had that, and it worked out. And that's kind of what excites me. Because you know what the hell the defensive back's going to do except try and trail the play. You get enough time to make some of those NFL throws that are timing synced, and you hit the guy perfectly where you give him an opportunity to make a move after the catch, already 20 yards downfield. A guy like Stanley who will stiff arm the heck out of you, or a guy like DPE that can spin out and then get tons of yards after the catch. Could be big time. Could be beautiful for Nebraska offensively. But a big-time get with Manuel Allen. And Manny will be with us tomorrow, we pray. And if not, we'll do it another time. But he had a coach's meeting. But kudos to you for getting him lined up eventually, Teach. Appreciate that. We'll wind down a Tuesday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird will be in tomorrow. Jerry DiNardo tomorrow. Manuel Allen tomorrow. I'm going to call my shot on that. Mitch Sherman, Rick Pizzo, David Gustafson. Gus with us a day after the Better Call Saul episode. That's impressive. Miss any part of Hail Varsity, can log on. HailVarsity.com. And read through, get a copy of the latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine in the State of Husker Nation poll. Had a lot of fun with that today. We talked face of the program, kind of the what gives you reason for optimism, minimum level of expectation. And well, just incredible work by Brandon Vogel, Mike Babcock, Aaron Sorensen, and of course, Aaron Babcock. Now, I found out a kid I grew up playing baseball and basketball with through junior high. Super Dave is what we called him in high school and in junior high. He's an author now. And he does children's books, and it's A Young Fan's Guide to Husker History by Dave Gregorius. Dave's a doctor, I think, out in Hawaii, because he's awesome.
That's why Super Dave.
That's why he's Super Dave. I'm trying to run him down. He did a children's book. And
homie, while being a doctor?
Yeah. The Magnum PI life. He doesn't have a stash, but he's the biggest Abdul Muhammad fan. Most of us had things we probably shouldn't mention or talk about, like posted in our locker. He had a picture of Abdul Muhammad against Kansas. He loved, that was kind of our era, so he loved Abdul Muhammad. That was his favorite wide receiver. Forever. He loved Magic Johnson, and he loved Abdul Muhammad. Okay. And he had I've got to ask him if he still has that picture of Abdul against Kansas, or might have been against Oklahoma. But the cover of his book, him and his little family, I mean, he's wearing a 27 jersey. That's not an accident. So I haven't talked to him in 100 years. And occasionally I would foul him, like Memphis got fouled last night. Wasn't personal. I just sucked at defense. That was my only response. And see if you bleed. So we'll see if we get a Husker author, children's guide. What's the first sports book you read or introduced to? Do you read the Devaney biography by Mike Babcock?
I did not. I don't know if I read it, but there was like this Chicago Bulls, like, if I played in the NBA, you could take a photo of yourself as a kid and put your face on an NBA player, and, you know, you're playing around with Michael Jordan, all that.
Okay, that might be one of the first sports books I got, actually. was...
If I Were a Chicago Bull, yeah. I think that's
That wasn't If I Were a Chicago Bull. It was the Jordan Rules by Sam Smith. It was on the 1990-91 championship team. How, you know, Jordan didn't want to go to practice, so he had Coach Collins call practice. This is previous years before Phil Jackson took over. Bill Cartwright threatening to end Michael's career if he ever went into the lane and disrespected. I mean, those guys weren't all boys, and then it turned into something really good. A lot of sports books, man.
Yep.
Bo Jackson's biography was awesome. It was good. But yeah, so we'll see how tomorrow shakes out. Manuel Allen, Jay Moore, Jerry DiNardo. Part of your Wednesday. Thanks to Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman, and Gustavo, not Frick, but David Gustafson. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Thanks so much.